I want you to turn to a passage of scripture in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 4. And I want you to hold that passage there, because in a minute I will talk about it. I know what it's like to be happily married. I know what it's like to be miserably divorced. And I know what it's like to be happily single. And that is good, because I've experienced each one of those, and so maybe I relate to you if you're happily married, and if you're miserably divorced, and if you're happily single. There are 93 million unmarried Americans over the age of 18. That's about 42%. 42% of the people in America are not married. In fact, unmarried Americans have more than 51 million households. Unmarried Americans, 51 million head up the household. In 2005, however, unmarried households have become the majority of all United States households. I said, that's an amazing thing. The majority of households now are headed up by unmarried people. So what I'm going to say is relative. You say, well, why would you preach on single but serving the Lord? Why do you preach that? Well, because the Bible addresses it, number one. Number two is because there are single people. I counted right quick through our book and what I could think of, and there's about 40 single adults in our fellowship, and they need addressed. And I believe some married folk need to be addressed. I think some married folk have a misconception about being single. One time a person looked at Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and used it as the basis of the fact that you ought to be married. And that says two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up the fella, but woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he has not another to help him up. And again, if two lie together, when they'll have heat. But how can they be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. And that was used as a proof that you have to be married, that you ought to be married. I'm glad they didn't finish the last sentence. A threefold cord's not easily broken. So obviously that's not encouraging polygamy in any way, shape, nor form. It's not talking about marriage, but the principle is there that there are some great advantages to being married. I heard about a preacher who was preaching, and someone had told him that they would like to be married after the service, and he couldn't remember their name. And he said, well, those wanting to get married come to the front. And there was 6 bachelors, 2 widows, 3 widows, and 9 single ladies. Well, there was a lot of people that would like to be married. Someone said, you just can't improve that arrangement. And a man said, I'm not trying to improve on it, I'm trying to get in on it. Some people want to get married and are not married, but not everyone can get married, and not everyone should get married. It is the second biggest decision in your life. First one being, of course, accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. But the second biggest decision you'll ever make in your life is whom you marry, or if you marry. The Bible says in Hebrews 13:4, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed is undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. And so the Bible plainly teaches us that marriage is an honorable thing, and that the bed, the marriage bed, is undefiled. But sex outside of marriage, whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. Whoever finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor of the Lord. Houses and land are from your father, but a prudent wife is from the Lord. It is not good, said from the very beginning, that man should be alone. But on the other hand, Paul wrote and said, I say therefore to the unmarried and widows, it's good for them if they abide as I. He was unmarried, and he said it's good for the widows and the unmarried to remain single like he was. But that was extenuating circumstances. So I'm going to speak to you today. If you're single, you've either never been married, or you're divorced, or you're separated, or you're widowed. One girl said, why should I get married? My dog snores, my parrot swears, my cat stays out all night, my skunk stinks up the house. Why in the world would I want a husband? But I want to impress upon you, it's okay to be single. First of all, I want to expose some lies about marriage. First lie, marriage is the answer to a fulfilled life. That's a lie. I've done too much counseling to buy in on that one. I don't believe that you can say that marriage is the answer to a fulfilled life. Now, if you're happily married, you might say to me, that's very fulfilling. Yes, I agree with you. I was happily married for many years, and I was very, very fulfilled. But marriage itself is not what fulfills a person. If it's another person that fulfills you, something's wrong. Because though it's not good for man to be alone, the fact of the matter is, I've done enough counseling to know in my life that a lot of people who are married are not fulfilled and are not happy and are absolutely teetotally miserable. Now, when I counsel, quite often I take people into a big room. And I put the woman over here and I put the man over here, and then I stand down here and I say, come to me. And they start walking to me, and when they start walking to me and they get right in front of me, I say, do you notice that when you came to me, you got closer to one another? I went on a call one day with a preacher, and when I went on the call, she was throwing things into a suitcase and she was leaving her husband, and I liked this girl real well. And so her husband was not there. And I gave her that illustration. And I said, now you imagine your husband there and you're over here, and I say, come to me, and you come to me, what do? You get closer to one another. Now, instead of me, let's make that God. And you're both coming closer to God. The closer you are both coming to God, the closer you get to one another. But if you aren't as close to your mate as you should be, either one or both are headed away from God. And she threw her head in her hands and said, it's me, it's me, it's me, it's me, it's me. And she just blurted right out, I've been repeatedly unfaithful to my husband. The preacher was with me. I thought he was going to drop his false teeth. Because he thought it was the other way around. If a couple are not as close as they ought to be, somebody's not near God. If you're both near God, you got to be closer to one another. And as long as that doesn't exist, when they're not both close to God, then something's going to be wrong in that marriage. It's not fulfilling. Marriage itself is not fulfilling. It's when both of you are headed toward God that there's a fulfillment, which is not to say that good Christians cannot have problems. But if both are Christians and both heading toward God and both obeying God, that relationship has got to improve. And if it doesn't improve, somebody's headed the wrong way or both are headed the wrong way. It's a lie. Marriage is not the answer to a fulfilled life. There have been many people who are even happily married whose life is not fulfilled because they are not walking with the Lord. Marriage is necessary to do God's will or to be in God's will. Some people believe that. You have to be married. Something wrong with people who's not married. They're mixed up. No, that's not true. Jesus said to the disciples, if the case of a man be so, that whoever puts away his wife and marries another commits adultery. And he said, what God's joined together, let not man put asunder. One of the apostles said, man, if that's the case, it's not good to marry. He said, all men cannot receive this saying, save they to whom it is given. For there are some eunuchs which were born from their mother's womb. Some people are born unable to marry. And there are some eunuchs which were made eunuchs of men. Some men have been castrated. And there are some eunuchs which have made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake. He that is able to receive it, let him receive it. So some people are born eunuchs and some are made eunuchs, but some people have decided within themselves that they're going to be eunuchs. Not that they're going to be castrated, but that they have decided to stay single for the kingdom of heaven's sake. Let him that is able to receive it, receive it. Your Lord talking, it is not abnormal to not be married. We had a man in Sunday school here a while back that spoke to you by the name of Phil Young. You people thrilled to him. I've thrilled to Phil ever since I was a little boy. A great preacher, a great teacher, a great soul winner, a man who has never preached more than probably 35 miles from his hometown. He's preached all over the world, but what I mean is, as in a located ministry, he stayed right in his area. He's never married. He's one of the best adjusted people you'll ever meet. And his two sisters, Kay and Donna, that sat right down there with him, neither one of them ever married. Their parents had three children, and none of them ever married. And they have been entirely fruitful, productive saints in the kingdom of God. And so it's not abnormal. It's not something that is not good. They're not misfits. They were able to receive it, and they received it. In my own family, I had three sisters that never married. And they supported my brother, and they supported me, and they do to this day. They're older than I am, and they support my school heavily and always have supported their brothers and their nephews, because there's so many of us, and they have supported them and been one of the vital links to evangelism all over the world. And they are fine, adjusted people. It's a lie that you can't do God's will or that there's something wrong with you if you never marry. And marriage is not God's intent for everyone, or marriage is God's intent. I mean, that's the lie, that God intended everyone to get married. Listen to 1 Corinthians 7:32. I would have you without carefulness. In other words, I wished you didn't have to be concerned. He that's unmarried cares for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he that's married cares for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife. And there's a difference also between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman cares for the things of the Lord, that she can be holy both in body and in spirit. But she is married and cares for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. And this I speak for your own profit, not that I may cast a snare upon you, but that which is comely, and that you may attend upon the Lord without distraction. It's a lie that God intends everybody to marry. That text points out that the single person can really give themselves to the preaching or the teaching of the Word of God. And if it's a woman, she can do it to the service of God. It's a lie that marriage is the higher calling. The Bible does not teach that lie. And marriage will remove the problems of a single life. Now, that's another lie. That marriage will get rid of the problems of the single life, like loneliness. There are many a married woman as lonely as she can be. One lonely woman said to her husband, who was still living, but sitting there on the couch with her, said, "I do wish I could have known you when you were alive." Yeah, they don't talk. I've always marveled when I go into a restaurant to eat and see a married couple. And I don't know, this happened to me dozens of times. I've seen married people come in and sit and eat, and they don't say one single word to one another the whole meal. You talk about lonely. You can be lonely in a city with hundreds of people around you, and some husbands are lonely and some wives are lonely. And marriage doesn't fix that all the time. Or financial security. That's a problem of the single life, and marriage will fix that. Now, I doubt that. Pretty expensive to be married. One man said to his wife when she wanted some money, "What'd you do with that $5 that I gave you the other day? Number B64832419OF. Boy, you get a stingy husband, ladies, and you really got problems. Man says, "I tell you, I got a voice in everything my wife spends. Every dollar she spends, I got a voice in it." Really? That's unusual. Yeah, an invoice. Very, very common. Man says, I guess can't face your bills. I don't expect you to face them. I expect you to foot them. Well, maybe it's nice to have someone helping you pay your bills, but they may be bill makers. And you may have a harder time in married life than not. How about a joyful sex life? You can have a joyful, meaningful sex life. That, if you get married, your sex problems are over. I just downright laugh about that. I've been counseling too long. I told you there's five problems in marriage: in-laws, money, religion, sex, and communication. I think communication would be part of that loneliness. Money would be the financial security. Joyful sex life, everything's going to be perfect when I'm married sexually. It's going to be like it is on TV. No, it's not. It's not. Many people are miserable. And contentment, but contentment's not an end in itself. Those five problems. Someone said, "Yeah, but my social life would be greatly improved." Depends on who you marry. If you marry the wrong person, your social life may go downhill, because there's two people that's got to be accepted now instead of one. What if you marry a dud? got no personality whatsoever. I'm just trying to impress upon you that there's a lot of lies about marriage, and the fact that you think it's going to end loneliness or give you financial security, or your sex life's just going to be perfect and you're going to be perfectly content. Fellow says to another fellow, "What'd you do before you married?" The guy said, "Anything I wanted to." You can't do that when you're married. And like I say, the social life, two people got to be accepted instead of one. So, that's a lie. And marriage is required to be a leader. No, you can be single and still preach, still teach, still sing, still evangelize, still go on mission trips, still helps children, still help in the nursery. It doesn't indicate that Mary, Martha, and Lazarus were married people. And I know that Paul and Barnabas were not married people. You can still be a great service in the kingdom of God. You can go places and do things for the Lord that you can't possibly do as a married person. Now, I'm not running down marriage. I'm trying to tell you and show you that you can be happy even though you're single, and that marriage is not the end of all your problems. And I've counseled too long to believe that one person can necessarily absolutely make the other person happy, because that person can change, that person can die, that person can have something come into their life that will totally upset your world, and you have absolutely no control over it whatsoever. Your fulfillment is not in a person. Your fulfillment is in a person, but it's a person that's sitting on the right hand of God on high. Let's look at some of the frustrations real quick about marriage, or rather about being single. I tell you this, if you're single, people are insensitive. Now, I've been guilty of this. In fact, I've got a diploma on my wall from Amy and her husband that calls me a matchmaker. I got a matchmaker diploma. And I have tried to put some of you folk together, and it's been successful. And so far, no one's coming back at me. It's like the guy that married a young couple that he got together, and the guy says, "What owe you for marrying us?" He says, "Give me what she's worth." So he gave her 50 cents. I gave him 50 cents. And then came back a little later and asked for that back. Some people are insensitive, and they're always trying to match you up. And I play matchmaker once in a while, but you know what I've always said, it's stupid to play Cupid. But people trying to match you up, introduce you to their nephew or their uncle or somebody, and that can get old, because it may be that that person wants to remain single. And your family is sometimes, "When are you going to give me any grandkids?" I know Phil heard that, and his sisters. "When are you going to give me any grandkids?" So family can put tremendous pressure. You need to get married. People are going to think you're odd. People are going to think there's something wrong with you if you don't get married. And they can really put peer pressure on you. I always tell people, "I can marry anybody I please. I just don't please anybody." And they'll say, "Well, don't be so picky. You looked in the mirror lately? You don't have the right to be that picky." Man, you hear that when you're single. I wonder what's wrong with her. I wonder what's wrong with him. That's what people say. So there, it can be a frustrating thing. It may not ever enter their cranium that you don't want to get married. And you may not be asked to join married folk, because singles are often pushed to the back of the bus. "She's not going to steal my husband." I've heard it. Not about me. I've heard about women. "I'd feel like a fifth wheel. Come on, go with us." "No, I'd feel like a fifth wheel. I don't have a mate." You need to keep that in mind, you married folk. And I never feel that way. I know who I am. I know who I want to be. And it doesn't bother me at all if a couple say, "Go out and eat with us." And I go out and eat with them, and I don't feel like a fifth wheel. But boy, some people suffer terribly because they feel like they're a fifth wheel, or they get the idea, especially women, that she thinks I'm going to steal her husband, or the man thinks, he thinks I'm going to try to steal his wife. Or another frustration is your single folk that you ran around with, your best friends, they'll go off and get married. I even wrote a song about that years ago, if you remember, how the guy said that all of his friends are going and getting married. And if you're single, maybe you've been married before and you're not married now, and you don't have a father, you don't have a mother to raise your children, and if you try to get one of the other men in the church, say, "Would you pay attention to my boy?" Or to some woman, "Would you pay attention to my daughter?" They think you're coming on to them. And that's a bad thing. And you do have great sexual temptations. If you have great sexual temptations, as I'll show you in a moment, and you can marry, then you ought to marry. You're not going to maybe have any descendants if you remain single. And, of course, there are specific needs which you may not be able to do, or you don't want to do. A woman may not be a mechanic. She's going to have help on her car. She's going to have someone help her on her house. She's afraid to ask one of the men in the church to come over and do it because the wife is going to get jealousy. And many times the woman has the reason or the right to feel that she's expecting too much of my husband. I can think of two men right in this area, not in this church, when they found some woman whose husband died, they spend too much time helping the widows, a widow of the man who died. And that's unhealthy. That's not good. And men ought to make sure they don't do that, unless they go with someone else out there to do that. Men, I hate cleaning. And I don't like cooking. And I hire someone to come in and clean, but not everybody can afford that. So there's that frustration. And when you're sick, maybe you're a person that when I'm sick, I kind of like to be left alone. But a lot of people, when they're sick, they need help. And they want help, and they want someone around them. And so there's nothing good about being single and being especially very sick. And then you got to make your own decisions. You might say, well, that sounds good. I can make both. No. Widows who've leaned heavily upon their husbands through the years, like they should have, then the husband dies, and the wife has to make all the decisions, or the widow has to make all the decisions. That can be very miserable. Some women do not even know how to write a check. Some women, when their husbands dies, never driven a car, believe it or not. That isn't as common as it used to be. But when you have to make the decisions, is it this, is it that, is it this, is it that, that can be very, very, very frustrating, even if you've never been married. And so there's something about marriage that's good there. You can also be taken advantage of. Single women are terribly abused. The mechanics see them coming. Others see them coming, and they overcharge them. Brenda bought that car she's driving now, and one day she saw it when she was with me, and she liked it, and unbeknownst to me, she went down that evening to look at the car. So I was by there the next day, and I said, I'm going to go in there and see what they want for that, and I can tell Brenda. And so I went in there and priced the car. I said, why don't I take it to her and show it to her? And he said, all right. So I drive it to the school, and she come out, and she says, I looked at it last night. What'd they ask you for it? $9,000 in my car. I said, they just offered it to me for $8,250. I sold her car for $2,000. So $2,750, they were going to charge her $2,750 more than me, a man. When she went to the bank, the banker told her, the girl banker said, I wouldn't do business with them. A lot of truth to that, but that's not unusual. People take advantage of single people. And then there's financial difficulties. You're one income competing in a world where most people have two incomes, and that can be frustrating. And sometimes there can be a lack of motivation, and that can affect your hospitality. The Bible tells all Christians to be hospitable, and so that can affect your hospitality. I remedy that by just taking people out to eat, but not everybody can afford to do that. The single people have a hard time being hospitable. Church attendance can be a problem when you're single. Someone isn't nudging, come on, let's go, come on, and keeping after you. Shaming you a little bit if you don't do it, and you can fall into great depression. It's also being frustrating or very frustrating to be pursued when you don't want to be pursued, and when you have to learn to say no, I'm not interested in you. Remember Sadie Hawkins Day and the girls asked the boys? Weren't you always miserable, fellas, on Sadie Hawkins Day when the girls come and ask the boys? Women have to put up with that all the time, where someone's trying to get a date and you don't want to date them. And then there's the appearance of others with the opposite sex. People could accuse you of flirting if you're a woman. That can affect your going calling. If you like to go calling, sometimes it's a little embarrassing to go calling with someone of the opposite sex, or someone else of the same sex doesn't want to go calling with you. Or even if you just go out to eat with someone, someone's trying to put two and two and get four, and they're getting five because they're wrong. And so there's all kinds of frustrations about being single. Now, why am I preaching this? There's 40 people in our congregational single, and they are identifying with what I am saying. And you married folk need to realize the frustrations and the anxieties of being single, and some of those anxieties are imposed by other Christians. And so a message like this is needed. Now quickly, let's go to point number three, and let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, and let's see some things that we need to know from the Word of God about this. I've given you some background there. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 7, 1 and 2. What is one of the designs of marriage? Now concerning the things whereof you wrote me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Your book, probably, the Bible probably says it's good for a man not to marry. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife and let every woman have her own husband. What is one of the main purposes of marriage? To prevent fornication. Jesus said, not everybody can receive the saying, let him that is able to receive it, receive it. Some are even made eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake. They've decided, I'm going to be single, and I'm going to do the work of God. For the kingdom of heaven's sake, I'm not going to marry. Now, you know, and I know, as I've already quoted you, that it's not good for man to be alone, that he that finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor of the Lord. So there's plenty of scriptures, the marriage is honorable and the bed's undefiled. There's plenty of scriptures that show that marriage is good and it's normal. I just want you to know that there are some people who have control of their vessel, their bodies, well enough that they do not need to be married. But marriage is to keep people from committing fornication. That's one of the main purposes of marriage. And then I would have you look at verse 7. I would that all men were even as I myself, but every man hath his proper gift of God, one after this manner, another after that. So I say therefore to the unmarried and widows, it's good for them to abide even as I. Celibacy is a gift. Not everybody has the gift of celibacy, of remaining single and celibate. And if you have that gift, great. If you don't have to have the gift, then marriage is to keep you from being a fornicator. But if you have the gift, don't forget now, marriage is a gift from God, but singleness is a gift from God. And that's very important to realize. And thirdly, if you marry as a virgin, or were divorced before you were called to be a Christian, you are free to marry. And you have not sinned. Listen to it, 1 Corinthians 7, 20. Have to have professional help to misunderstood it, and I'm ashamed to say that I misunderstood it for years. Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. Are you called being a servant? Care not for it. But if you may be free, use it. So if you're called being a servant, you remain a servant. If you can get free, fine, go ahead. He that is called being a servant is the Lord's free man. Likewise, he that is called being free is the Lord's servant. You're bought with a price. Be not the servants of men. Brethren, every man wherein he is called, therein abide with God. So however you were when you were called, you abide there. Now, concerning virgins, I have no commandment of the Lord, yet I give my judgment as one that obtained mercy of the Lord to be faithful. God never said anything about whether you had to marry or you didn't have to marry. I don't have a commandment on virgins. I suppose, therefore, that this is good for the present distress. Now, he says, this is good for the present distress. The church was being terribly persecuted. And so he says, for the present distress, that's good if you don't marry. Are you bound to a wife? Are you married? Seek not to be loosed. If you become a Christian and you're married, stay married. Don't get a divorce. Are you loosed from a wife? Can you be loosed if you never were hooked? Are you divorced from a wife? Seek not a wife. But, and if you marry, you have not sinned. And if a virgin marry, she has not sinned. Nevertheless, such shall have trouble in the flesh, and I'd spare you. Because of the persecution, you're going to have problems, and I would spare you that. Now that verse was in there for the first 40 years of my ministry. How in the world did I misunderstand that verse? That if a man became a Christian and he was unmarried, he's loosed. He'd been married, but now he's loosed. And now he becomes a Christian. If he does marry, he has not sinned. Why? What's the purpose of marriage? To keep you from committing fornication. I talked to us about this one day, and some people came up to me and said, George, what are you going to do when you stand before God and you told people who've been married before and divorced and then became Christians that they can marry again? What are you going to do when God calls you to account for that? I said, well, let me ask you a question. What are you going to do when you stand before God? And he said, I put an institution down there called marriage to keep people from committing fornication, and you wouldn't let them use it. You forbid to marry. You don't have to wear your collar back to collar backwards to forbid to marry. For 40 years, I was wrong. I wonder how much damage I did. The purpose of marriage is to keep people from committing fornication. So now the guy's a Christian, and he becomes a Christian, and he's divorced. He doesn't want to roam anymore. He doesn't want to go out with women and commit fornication. Well, what institution did God put down there to keep a man from committing fornication? It's called marriage. And marriage is honorable in all. And the bed is undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. Now, I am not preaching this because I'm planning on getting married. I don't want to get married. Have no plans of getting married. Don't ever plan on having any plans of getting married. I have the gift of celibacy. Praise God. And yet, these things need to be taught in the church. Marriage can produce trouble in the flesh. He says during this present time or this present distress that single people are going to have. Look at it in verse 26 there. He plainly says, I'd spare you the problems you're going to have if you get married during this great time of persecution. I mean, you got kids, you got a wife, you're running from one city to another city trying to get away from the persecution. He said, I'd sure spare you that. But even then, there is an advantage and opportunities in the single life that you can please the Lord without the concerns of a mate. You can help the church. You can work in missions. You can help your parents. Being single, however, is not a license to be selfish. 1 Corinthians 7:32, I would have you without carefulness. He that is unmarried cares for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. He that is married cares for the things how he might, the things that are in the world, how he might please his wife. There's a difference between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman cares for the things of the Lord, that she may be both holy in body and spirit. But she that's married cares for the things of the world, how she can please her husband. And this I speak for your own profit, not that I could cast a snare upon you. I'm not telling you this because I want a snare upon you, but for that which is comely, that you may attend to the Lord without distractions. Excuse me. Even during the common distress that they were going under, look at verse 36. If any man thinks that he behaves himself uncomely toward his virgin, and if she's past the flower of her age and needs so require, let him do what he will, he sins not, let them marry. Even in persecution, if you feel like you're sinning against your virgin, and you fear that you are going to fall into fornication, you're not sinning, go ahead and marry. And verse 38 tells us why. So then he that giveth her in marriage does well, but he that gives her not in marriage does better. So there is a time that it's better not to give your daughter in marriage than to give her in marriage in that time of persecution. But on the other hand, the Bible says it's better to marry than to burn. Now that doesn't mean go to hell, although it could. It's better to marry than it is to burn with passion. So even in persecution, it's better to marry than it is to burn. And last one, widows are allowed to marry, but only in the Lord. The wife is bound by the law as long as her husband liveth, but if her husband be dead, she's at liberty to be married to whom she will, only in the Lord. In other words, only another Christian. But she's happier if she abide after my judgment, and I think also that I have the Spirit of God. I think she'll be happier during this present distress if she doesn't marry. But later on, when the persecution died down greatly, I would therefore that the younger widows marry and bear children. So you got to put verses in context, but there's a time to marry and a time not to marry. But even in the time not to marry, if you can't control your passions, it's better to marry than it is to burn. And the purpose of marriage, one of them, is to keep you from committing fornication. And just one word in passing. That's why he tells in the verses right under that, that the wives are to submit to their husbands' sexual advances, and the husbands are to submit to their wives' sexual advances, and not to withhold themselves except by agreement for a season, but come together again, lest the devil tempt you for your incontinency. So if you're single, here's what I think you ought to do, and here's what I think the elders have the responsibility of doing. I think that the elders have a responsibility, I have a responsibility, to try to get you to learn to be content. If you're single, you ought to volunteer for service. You ought to ask for wisdom. If any man ask of wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. If special days are hard for you, such as the holidays, and families not there with you, then plan something for your special days. Plan on being busy. Go feed other people that are hurting on those particular days. Get yourself some hobbies. Go to some events. Watch what you watch. Don't look at porn. Suggestive movies. Or read suggestive books. Even if there isn't a bunch of sex in it, ladies, very dangerous for single girls to read Grace Livingston Hill's books. Why? Because it's Pollyannish. Life is not like that. For your own sake, I'm going to tell you something my single sister, Marilyn, said. She was a very brilliant woman, probably the most brilliant woman I've ever met. And she called me to her deathbed, and she name some men. So, do you know these guys? Yeah. Great heroes of the faith. She said, I went to school with them. And she said, I never paid any attention to them. They were so childish. I wanted a man. She told me, and she argued with my brother, who was letting his daughter read Grace Livingston Hill books and Gene Stratton Porter books and stuff like that, and a lot of that romantic stuff. Not filthy books, good, clean, wholesome books. But she told us, don't let her read those books. Those books are Pollyannish. They're not true. That's not the way life is. And I let men who would have become, who did become great men, pass me by. I wasn't interested in them because I expected when I met my man, he's going to come on a great white horse with a... Pray for a mate if you want one. You have not because you ask not. Pray to be kept from temptation and remember the promise of 1 Corinthians 10:13. God will not allow you to be tempted above that which you're able, but will with the temptation provide of a way of escape. So, what have I hoped to accomplish by this sermon? If you're single, I want you to know, not just because I am single, but I want you to know, I know the frustrations and the temptations of being single, and God knows those temptations, and He's had His men write about it in the Bible. He's revealed all things that pertains to life and godliness. And secondly, I preached it to the married people because I want you to know that being single does have frustrations and difficulties, and you don't want to compound those frustrations, and you don't want to make people feel like second-class citizens of the kingdom because they're not married like you are. Are some people single because they're selfish? Yes. Are some people married because they're selfish? Yes. But let me tell you, it is perfectly normal and it is perfectly right in the sight of God for some people to be eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake and to remain single. So I hope this sermon's helped you. Been planning on preaching this for a long time. And finally decided, well, if I don't do it sometime, I'll never get it done. I just believe single people need to hear it. Married people need to hear it. Abide in the calling wherewith you're called. But if you do marry, you've not sinned. We're facing hard days. Many of us who are who have been married and have grandchildren are saying what? What's going to happen to my grandchildren? What in the world is going to happen to my children and my grandchildren? We're coming on hard times, and my message is very relevant because it may be that if you are one of those people who have the gift of celibacy, you might be wise in times like these to remain single and help those people who are married and who have children, help them be a blessing in the world. Let's pray. Father, if there's anyone here today who is single and is wanting a mate, I pray you would lead them to a godly person. And those that do not want to marry, I pray that they would not have the frustrations that I've mentioned. And I pray those that are married may be conscious of the people who are unmarried, and that they would bear in mind their situation, and that the single might bear in mind with those who are married or divorced or going through a divorce, because that terrible thing can happen to anyone. Help us all serve you, for it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.